complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, that he may speak to us through the truth of his holy word. As your prayerful attention, by way of a text, to the chapter we read from in Jeremiah, chapter 32, and verse 17. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard before thee. Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. It is the testimony of the prophet Jeremiah, given here to speak that which was of great faith, faith in his God. He could say, could he not, as the Apostle Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. But dear friends, this word, there is nothing too hard for thee, is not only providential, it is also spiritual. For the greatest work that God has ever performed is the salvation of man's souls. Deliverance from the deserved wrath and judgment of God on account of mankind's sins. Yes, the power of God, in a physical sense, to create the heavens and the earth by his great power. That which he commanded to come to pass from nothing. He spoke and it was done. And in those 6 days of creation, all things came into being. From the vastness of the universe, which always so hard to comprehend the vastness of it, to the minutest of the atom and microcell, it's too minimum, too small to comprehend. Dear friends, all was done through the power, the purpose, and the will of God. And in that great creation, God breathed into man, mankind, that he became a living soul. It was God's work that man was separate to other creatures, to other beasts which he had created. Yes, other creatures, they have breath, they have many organs similar to we have in their various forms and shapes, and they have a certain amount of intelligence. They have instinct. And that main instinct is to stay alive and to reproduce. But dear friends, the Spirit of God into man, that man became a living soul, oh, was a reasoning power. Was a power which is far above all other creatures, where he has control and power over all other creatures. Mankind was made in that respect in the image of God to rule the things of this earth. But mankind disobeyed the command of God. And so mankind, Adam became a sinner and Eve became a sinner. And the consequence of sin is death. soul that sinneth, it shall die. The word is very clear on that. And that also brought about death of the body. And when we die, the soul shall return to God who gave it for that judgment. And dear friends, that judgment is most solemn, as we had in that text this morning, where God said concerning Israel that he would not forget their sins. He would ever remember them. And therefore, dear friends, in that judgment day, they would be condemned to that place which God hath prepared for the devil and his angels. No escape from it. And there's nothing mankind can do, even though he's got control over the whole earth. There's nothing mankind can do to save his own soul. He's a sinner. He's born in sin, in the image of Adam. Born through the woman, Eve, as we might say, and the seed of man. Dear friends, we are sinners. And no one has to tell us how to sin, do they? We sin us by nature. And we do not desire to know, oh, the mercy of God. As we had Israel this morning, oh, their contentment was to seek just the good of earthly life, the affluence and the entertainments and things, and they had no fear of God at that time within them. God was not in all their thoughts, and the solemn judgment of God was upon them. And dear friends, the solemn judgment of God is upon us because of our sin. What effect does that have upon us? There's an eternity before us all, isn't there? Where shall it be spent? Well, dear friends, it's too hard for us to deliver us from the consequence of our sins. And we shall be sinners to the day of our death. And if we walked now from this day forward to the day of our death in a complete righteous manner, our righteous deeds would not blot out our transgressions already committed. No, a sinner is one who is guilty of one command, let alone all of the commands. Oh, that great command, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. How many of us have kept it? None of us. We live so much to our own selves, don't we? And yet we have this word here. Nothing is too hard for thee, for God. Nothing is too hard. Yes, he created the heavens and the earth by his great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for thee. And as we read in that verse 27, after Jeremiah had prayed, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Dear friends, what a mercy that God doth not deal entirely after our sins and after our iniquities. But he is able to blot them out as a thick cloud. And that blotting out, dear friends, is when they're laid upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear the punishment instead. Oh, when we read in Amos this morning, it seemed to strike me very assuredly concerning that solemn word of the text we had in chapter 8 and verse 6, was it? No, verse 7. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, that was by the pride of Jacob, their sins. Surely I will never forget any of their works. I will never forget any of their works. Sins that they are. But those works which he never forgets, they were all laid upon his Son Jesus Christ to bear the iniquity instead. Dear friends, the price of them all has been paid for. Oh, what a mercy. That truth as it is in Jesus gave him life, a sacrifice for sin. He was a glorious high priest. He was the glorious sacrifice. He entered into death to destroy the power of it, because he was holy. He was pure. My righteous servant, says God, shall justify many, put away their sins, make them clean, for he shall bear their iniquity. All their sins, every one of them laid upon him, to cry, it is finished, it is finished. The work that the Father hath given me, says Jesus, in that respect is done. And all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Power to lay down his life as if he was the guilty sinner. To take it again. Oh, the destruction of the power of death and the power of the law to condemn sinners unto eternal damnation. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, dear friends, what a glorious work this was. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Dear friends, how heavy a weight on your heart and soul and mind is your sin. Has it ever been a great burden? A greater burden than any practical or physical difficulty or trouble you may have had? With practical and difficult troubles upon this life, yes. They can bring us into great depths, don't they, of sorrow and distress. But a true burden of sin, knowing we are guilty before a holy God, and can only be sentenced to eternal damnation. Dear friends, there's no sin. There's no grief and sorrow like that. Are you tempted to say, oh, the Lord will never forgive my sins. I'm such a determined sinner. I've got such a mind and a heart within me, a hard, and I do not want to go in the ways of God. No, I want to go mine own way. I'm determined. I've got a stony heart regarding the things of God. It will never be broken. Dear friends, we say never. Oh, you look at Saul of Tarsus, the hardness of his heart, the determination of his will. Oh, to destroy, if he could, the people who believed in Jesus. Was there ever such a hard heart as that? The Lord appeared, didn't he? He made that heart soft. Saul of Tarsus was completely turned around. Oh, to become, as you might say, the chief of the apostles. And the chiefest of those amongst the Gentiles. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Oh, it's ours, isn't it? When we come into the burden of our sinfulness, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to testify, to convince us of our sin, to lead us unto the righteousness that is of Christ, a precious righteousness. His righteousness becomes ours as we confess our sins before him, justified, completely cleansed, made righteous in the sight of God. Oh, dear friends, it's the one thing needful, isn't it? The one vital thing to be a true believer in Jesus. Oh, may each of you and myself be an ever-continuing prayer, that we shall be kept from the power of sin, and His Holy Spirit to lead us as we journey on through life, to know our sinful state, confess it before the Lord, to grieve over what we all seem to be afflicted by our own hearts daily, our thoughts, all dreadful thoughts that come into us, as well as our words and deeds. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Oh, what a great mercy that is. Pardon for sinners, the gift of eternal life, delivered from damnation. Well, dear friends, I pray that each of us may know this sacred truth and prove the greatest of blessings, our pardon sealed, our peace with God. We have that lovely word, don't we, in Paul to the Romans. He that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how much more shall he freely give us all things? All things. Well, that's the great one thing, isn't it? Because he spared not his own son. And yet the Paul, as I mentioned, let me just return to Saul of Tarsus a moment. When he was changed, he was still a sinner. He confesses there that, oh, the good that I would, that I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus. And when Saul, as Paul the Apostle, came into great troubles and difficulties in his life, in the way the Lord led him from that day, he said, the Lord had to uphold Paul by saying, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Oh, dear friends, that's our experience, isn't it? We have to depend upon that grace of the Lord again and again to strengthen us up, to uphold us, to help us through the days of our life. For if he did not do this, we'd soon fall into utter despair. Cannot control our own hearts from sins. Cannot deliver ourselves from our just desert. Oh, but that lovely word, once in him forever, the eternal covenant. As we read it here in Jeremiah, that covenant of his grace. Dear friends, once there, it is never lost. Once given, it is ever received. How thankful we ought to be to the God of all grace, of love immense, and free his favours to dispense. Keeps us in prayer, doesn't it? Keeps us praying. Keeps us at the throne of grace. Nothing is too hard for thee, says Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah spoke these words under a certain circumstance, and we mustn't ignore the context. Yes, it's a very, very wide subject, isn't it? Spiritual and providential. There's no end, there's no bound to it, where nothing is too hard for the Lord. But while it is spiritual, as we've tried to explain, it is also providential. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, Jeremiah was called to be a prophet when he was very young. Seems as if he was no more than a child. But he was in the way the Lord would have him go. And the Lord gave him that promise, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. And dear friends, Jeremiah had to call on the name of the Lord many times. in his life. Oh, how he was set upon, persecuted for the truth of the preaching of the word of God because of the sins of the people. We had Amos this morning for the sins of Israel. Here is Jeremiah for the sins of Judah. They shall fight against thee, his own people, the people of Anathoth. Why, they sought to slay him if they could. There was one at one time accused Jeremiah of escaping from Jerusalem and put him in the stocks. King Jehoiakim, when he read the prophecy of Jeremiah written by Baruch, he cut it with a penknife, burnt it in the fire, and then Jeremiah and Baruch had to flee and hide themselves because of the risk to their lives. The princes of the king Zedekiah, they took Jeremiah and they put him in the dungeon and they left him to die. Oh, there he prayed. We read that in Lamentations. Out of the lowest dungeon he prayed. And the Lord said, fear not. And the Lord delivered him through Ebed-Melech, who persuaded the king that Jeremiah could be lifted out of the dungeon. And here now, just at the very last stage of Jerusalem, before it was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, Jeremiah is in the court of the prison. And the word of the Lord comes to him concerning buying this field from his uncle's son, Anamiel, who was a Benjamin, of which where Jeremiah came from, the tribe of Benjamin. And the Lord had said to Jeremiah, he's coming and you're to buy his field. A word from the Lord. Now, I'm sure Jeremiah couldn't really fully understand why this should be. Well, he didn't. But it was confirmed to be a word from the Lord when Anamiel came. And Jeremiah obeyed. You know, dear friends, Jeremiah here was in the prison, in the court of the prison. He was shut up. He was in trouble. He'd lost his freedom. He no doubt was fed with the meanest of food and drink, not being very clean, not well, but being very dirty, I should think. Would not his prayer be that he would be delivered from prison? Would not his prayer be that he was delivered from the hands of those who'd risen against him? He was in a very low state providentially, wasn't he? But the Lord gave him this word to purchase a field in this land which was to be overcome and conquered by Nebuchadnezzar and laid waste. Dear friends, here first of all we see the influence of the Spirit of God upon Jeremiah. He obeyed. What was the word we had last Lord's Day afternoon? Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. And Jeremiah did it without question. You know, that's the spirit of a little child. When a very, very little child is ordered to do something before they develop really their rebellion one way or another, they will do it. The spirit of a little child. Jeremiah couldn't understand why this had come, but he knew it was the word of the Lord. So he obeyed that command. And he weighed out the money. We're not told how Jeremiah had such money there and then, but that's by and by. And he gave it to Baruch, who had written much of his prophecy down, and said, go and put it in an earthen vessel. And so it may be kept safe for a long time to come. A long time to come. For the Lord had said, he would again bring in houses and fields to be built, and vineyards shall be possessed in this land. There's the faith of Jeremiah, obeying the word of the Lord, although it was not for his own personal benefit. Dear friends, what teaching is there here for us? You know, Jeremiah could not understand with his own mind and his own heart why the Lord should do this and instruct him to do it. He was in prison. He was restricted. And it didn't directly affect his status in the prison. He was still there. It didn't help him at all. And yet he said, there is nothing too hard for thee. But then he prayed, and he began to question why it was that the Lord had asked him to do this. Buy me, buy thee the field for money, the Lord had said, and take witnesses. Why? For the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. And the Lord said, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And he revealed to Jeremiah that which he would do. No, this wasn't for his benefit directly. It was for the benefit of his people, in spite of their sins. It was an evidence that he would yet have mercy upon them. And that which Jeremiah had done, why, in time to come, it would be seen of the Lord's mercy and goodness to his whole people. You know, dear friends, we have circumstances in our lives, don't we? We have difficulties, we have troubles. We may get bound by many circumstances. It may be pain and affliction. We are bound by, we cannot do what we would wish to do. We may be housebound. We may stumble about needing help. We may have lots of pain and afflictions which restricts us from that which we do. It may be others who may have influence over us and restrict us. And we cannot do what we would do. We haven't got the freedom we would like to have in various matters. It may be a duty and a responsibility in our business which constrains us, and we are bound by our responsibilities and that we must do there, and it takes up so much of our time that we cannot do other things which we long to do. Maybe even restrict us from going to the house of God. Restrict us from times of worship. Dear friend, we can have many things which can restrict us in our earthly lives, can't we? And they become a trouble to us. And perhaps we pray. Perhaps we pray that, well, I'm sure we do pray, that the Lord will deliver us from the restrictions and from the constraints which we have upon us. We want more liberty, we want more freedom, and so on and so forth, which is a natural thing to desire. Those things that seem as if we're in the prison house. We are bound and we cannot get out. Well, dear friends, the Lord may come. The Lord may speak in an answer to your prayer, but it won't be an answer and an answer which you are looking for. It may be something you might say, well, that's completely different. But dear friends, if the Lord speaks, it must be done. We don't know what the purpose of the Lord is. Why he gives answers to our various circumstances in the way he does. Things come which perhaps they don't seem to have any relevance. But dear friends, we're to trust in him at all times. I often look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah obeyed the word of the Lord here. It wasn't for his good. What he doing was for an evidence of the Lord's good to all his people, his mercy and grace. Who can tell what the world, how the Lord will work things out in accordance with his purpose, in accordance with his will? Or we're to continue in prayer. You know, poor Jeremiah, he remained in prison for quite a while, didn't he, until Nebuchadnezzar did destroy Jerusalem. He wasn't taken over to Babylon like all the others. He wasn't slain like so many were. No, the Lord delivered him. But he remained under the control of others and was carried down into Egypt. And as far as we can tell, he did not return. He may have returned, we're not told he did. Jeremiah didn't receive complete a deliverance, did he, from his personal circumstance? But you know, what he did receive was the blessing of the Lord. Well, what did Jeremiah say in that time, in his lamentations, when Jerusalem was destroyed? He says, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Jeremiah knew what it was to be a sinner. Jeremiah knew what it was to trust in the Lord. You know, dear friends, these are vital things, aren't they? And to acknowledge that it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Things don't come upon us worse than what they are. Our times are in the Lord's hand, and he has a divine purpose for all things concerning us. Or we plan and we scheme. Yes, and we plan, and our hearts devise our way, but the Lord directeth the steps of his people. And therefore we're to trust in him at all times. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. He does not deal with us as our sins deserve. He does not reward us according to our iniquities. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. This is what Jeremiah then said. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Oh, he hadn't got much in this world, had he? What he had had before, yes, he had some money to purchase this field, but that had now gone. And that field was, as if, well, you might say, a vain purchase. He would never see that field. He would never really own it. He had very little here upon this earth. But the Lord is my portion. And that was his strength. That was his comfort. That was his peace. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. I will hope in him. Dear friends, Jeremiah never gave up hope. No, he was ever strong in the Lord, no matter what came upon him in a physical sense. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and the soul that seeketh him. Dear friends, can you say the same thing? You know, it's wonderful if we can, in spite of whatever our circumstances are. We may come into what we call deep waters, deep troubles, things that are going to flood over us and destroy our faith and our hope in God. But no, the Lord is good, that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The salvation of the Lord. The Lord will deliver. He's faithful that hath promised. It may be in a way completely different to what we expect. But if we can say, the Lord is my portion, I will hope in him. I, man, will hope and both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Dear friends, you're in a blessed state. You're dependent upon the Lord who will never leave you nor forsake you. He will bring you safely through all the difficulties of time unto eternal life. We read of those in heaven, those who have come through great tribulation. They'd washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what did Jeremiah also say? I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice, hide not thy cry from my breathing. Thou drewest near, I called upon thee, thou saidst, fear not. There was a time when the Lord delivered him from that a great dungeon. He delivered him from the instant of death. But he didn't completely deliver him from everything that was against him, did he? And that might be your case. It may be mine. We shall always have those things, oh, which afflict us and affect us. Tribulations. But whilst we trust in the Lord, commit all our way unto him, dear friends, he will bring us safely through. That our ends of this earth will be everlasting peace. These are they that came through great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer to that is no. The giver is the giver of eternal life to all those to whom the Holy Spirit has convinced them of their sin, led them to Jesus' blood. And all their friends that they pass through in this life, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The Lord never left Jeremiah, did he, to himself? The Lord was always there. No, he didn't enjoy bodily comfort like many did. But he enjoyed the comfort of his soul. Dear friends, we know not what is before us. We know how the circumstances are in our lives now. But what may come another day, another week, another month, or maybe another year, we do not know. But David says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. He's the giver of everlasting life unto those, dear friends, that call upon him. That call upon him for mercy, to the pardon of their sins. And he will lead them through this journey of our earthly life, that hope and our faith and that love will never fail. Looking unto Jesus, the author finisher of our faith, he will not bring us into utter despair, but will supply all of our need. Oh, the help in times of trouble. Isn't that what the promise of the Lord is? Fear not, I will help thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will hold thee by thy right hand. I will say unto thee, fear not. Well, dear friends, Jeremiah's example may be relevant to you. I do not know. You may be bound by some providential aspect in your life now. The Lord may use it for the blessing of your soul, even though you do not lose it physically. But he will not take away that faith, that grace, that pardon that he has bestowed upon you through the witness and grace of his Spirit, which has showed you that your pardon is sealed. You have peace with God. You're a sinner. Saved by grace. That's the great power of God, isn't it? To deliver sinners from the power of destruction through sin into the power of his grace of eternal life. O Lord, thou hast made heaven and earth, by thy great power and stretched out are, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Then, dear friends, continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. The Lord will not leave you or despise you. He knoweth them that are his, and they shall come to that eternal end of life in heaven. Amen.